Our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Thank you, God, for showing us again and again that the words of the prophets are faithful and reliable. Are you ready? Let's sing it together. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Good job. The angel Gabriel first appeared to Zechariah with a wonderful message telling the old priest he and his wife Elizabeth would finally have the son they longed for. And not only that, this son would be the one who would herald the coming of the longed-for Messiah. Gabriel left a mute and deaf Zechariah to go see another person who would be part of God's plan to redeem and reconcile humanity, young Mary, an engaged girl who nevertheless willingly gave herself, womb, hands, soul, spirit, to God to become the mother of the Messiah. As excited as Mary might have been to bring the Messiah into the world, her fiancé, Joseph, didn't share her excitement. To learn she was pregnant before they got married was a slap in the face, especially since he knew he was not the father of the surprise child. The whole marriage contract was predicated on the fact that Mary would be faithful and true to him, that she would come to him intact and pure. What agony and anxiety Joseph must have felt when he heard the news, like getting punched in the gut. This innocent girl, this sweet little thing that had pledged herself to him, this one he was looking forward to marrying, she had betrayed him in the worst way. At that time in Jewish tradition, an engagement was a pact between the couple's parents, and it was as binding as the actual marriage. That's why the scripture calls Joseph Mary's husband. They were as good as married, although they would not live together until after the actual ceremony, when Joseph would come to Mary's father's house unexpectedly and officially claim her as his wife. An engaged woman who had been unfaithful was equal to a married woman committing adultery, and the penalty for adultery was death by stoning. Joseph, as the scripture says, was a righteous man. He knew his law and he knew his rights. This shocking development, this glitch in his plans, could only be rectified in one way. He had to break off the engagement, annul the contract, and then try to pick up the pieces of his life and offer his heart to someone else. There were two ways to handle this problem. He could take Mary before the village elders and present his case. "She's pregnant and is not my child." He could find empathy from the elders, and they would agree that the Torah called for death by stoning for such an egregious act. There was no other way for Joseph to save face. There was no other way to erase Mary's family's shame. They knew the law said, "Get rid of the evil from among you," and a faithless, deceptive woman like Mary shouldn't be allowed to live. And even worse, she was going around telling lies about what had happened. Pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Sure, Mary, tell us another one. Who are you covering up for? The other thing Joseph could have done was just to take her quietly before one elder and give her a letter of divorcement without elaborating on the reason for breaking it off with her. This would be easier on Mary. She wouldn't be stoned and her name wouldn't be smeared through the mud of the town. Joseph could simply say, "It won't work out. I want to withdraw from the contract." Mary and her family couldn't protest. They were obligated to take Joseph's decree and leave. Maybe the townspeople would wonder, why was Joseph sending Mary away? Weren't they the cutest couple ever? Wasn't everyone looking forward to their wedding? What had happened? Over the month, as Mary's pregnancy became obvious, people would start counting on their fingers and they'd be going, oh, now we know why Joseph didn't marry Mary. Joseph wavered between the two choices, public or private divorce. He didn't want to cause Mary any more shame and heartache. She was a young girl. She'd made a mistake. Maybe years later, people would forget and she would find someone else to marry. That would be the compassionate thing to do. Give her another chance. Joseph made up his mind to take the easy way out, the way that would spare Mary's life but keep him from being the butt of jokes about who the real father of her child was. Although he was at peace with his decision, Joseph did something we all do sometimes when we have a problem. When our minds are swirling and whirling with scenarios and solutions, when we're desperately trying to decide what's the right choice to make, the right thing to do, sometimes the best thing to do is sleep on it. I think that's because when we're asleep, our minds, though they stay busy, are relaxed and free. They're open to everything, even angels. And that is exactly what happened next to Joseph. An angel came to him in a dream. At a time when his mind was loose and unstressed and other possibilities and solutions could come to him. Was that angel Gabriel again? Gabriel, who had assured Zechariah he stood in the very presence of God and was privileged to know all of God's plans and projects. Gabriel, who had been part of this wonderful story from the beginning. Gabriel, who wasn't about to let Joseph's rigidity spoil things now. Most likely when Mary told Joseph about her pregnancy, she told him the impossible part right away. The child was God's own son, placed in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. That Joseph found hard to believe. He figured she had done something she regretted and was now trying to use some far-fetched excuse to make it sound legitimate, holy even. Joseph went to sleep to rid his mind of his racing thoughts, his heart of the bewildering sense of betrayal and loss and achiness. To sleep, perchance to dream, it's an escape. But into his dream barged an unexpected angel. His greeting was like every angel's greeting, fear not. Only this time the angel wasn't saying, don't be afraid of me because I'm so big and I'm glowing with a holy light. He was saying, don't be afraid of what other people will think. Don't be afraid to take a compassionate stand. Don't be afraid to believe Mary's story, wild as it seems. Don't be afraid of anything. Because Mary was enfolded in a holy protective aura, Joseph would be too. That spiritual shield would surround them both and protect them from all the doubters and naysayers and finger pointers, all those people who would laugh at them behind their hands and wink when they insisted Mary was carrying God's own son. The angel advanced the solution Joseph had never even considered, marry Mary anyway. Now it made perfect sense, and it was exactly what Joseph determined to do. The angel's admonishment was in keeping with the prophecy Isaiah gave Ahaz, which we heard earlier. At the time of the prophecy, Ahaz, king of Jerusalem, was freaking out because Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to wage war against it. Ahaz was afraid, but the prophet Isaiah tried to reassure him and told him to ask for a sign. When Ahaz refused to do so, Isaiah said, all right, here's a sign for you anyway. It was a sign of safety and security. It was a prophecy of assurance. Don't worry about those two kings, Isaiah told Ahaz. Don't be afraid of them. Everything will turn out well. They will be defeated. You will be protected. You will be saved. There is nothing to fear here. God is watching over you. Things are tough now, but they won't always be this way. Just you wait. Things will get better. That's the whole Christmas message. Just because things are hard and scary and messy now, that doesn't mean they will always be that way. Jesus was born not just to save his people from his sins, as the angel told Joseph, but also to save them from their fears and doubts and frets. The prophecy to Ahaz promised safety and security. Matthew says that safety and security, that salvation, is found in Jesus. That's good news. When Joseph woke up, he didn't hesitate. He didn't question or contemplate. He got out of bed and went to get Mary from her father's house. His sudden appearance, the typical way a Jewish bridegroom claimed his bride, probably stunned Mary's family. They were expecting him to set Mary aside, and maybe they were trying to figure out a way to salvage Mary's reputation and save their honor. But when they heard, knock, knock, who is it? It's Joseph. I've come for Mary. Mary, I believe you. I believe you are to bear the Messiah, God's own son. An angel from God has told me to go ahead and marry you. So come on now, let's go. We'll name your child God with us, and that's how we will know everything will be all right. God is with us. In plain view of everyone, Joseph led Mary to his house, escorting her proudly, letting the whole village know he accepted Mary and her child too. Later, when he named Jesus, Joseph showed that acceptance was complete. Jaws must have dropped in astonishment, but Joseph knew what he was doing, the right thing. He didn't question the angel as Zechariah had. He didn't try to wrangle an explanation out of him. He heard the angel, and he did as the angel commanded. He trusted the angel. He trusted God. Joseph modeled the just and compassionate behavior his adopted son would later demonstrate in his own illustrious life, a concern and a heart for the outcast and forsaken, a willingness to put his own wants and desires, even his own life, aside in order to help someone else. No wonder God had chosen Joseph for Mary's husband and Jesus' adoptive father. It was no accident that Joseph was engaged to Mary. God chose just the right man for her. God knew his son, and Mary too would need someone strong and faithful to take care of them. We don't often focus on Joseph during Advent and Christmas, but he is indeed someone to celebrate. Despite his own uncertainties, despite his own natural concern for his reputation, despite feeling deceived and let down, he nevertheless woke up and did the right thing. He became the protective power that hovered over Mary and Jesus, and he showed Jesus, as he grew up, what it meant to be a man of honor and integrity. Joseph is an important part of the Christmas story, too, just as much as the angels who hovered all around him, and Mary, and Jesus, and Zechariah, and Elizabeth, and those angels hover around us, too. Our angel lesson for today is, do what the angel tells you to do right away. Get up and get going. Sometimes the angel will ask you to do the contrary thing, the thing you didn't even consider. Do it. Because if God's angel tells you it's going to be all right, then you can be sure it will be. God's angel won't steer you wrong. May we be like Joseph, hopping up right away to do as we are commanded, ready to be a model of obedience, compassion, righteousness, and justice, just like Joseph. Let us pray. God, thank you for Joseph. We often overlook him, but he is so important to the story of the birth of your son, Jesus. He has shown us how to stand against the voices of derision and denial and ridicule. He has shown us how to live a life of faith and trust and obedience. He has shown us how to be righteous and just. He has shown us how wonderful it is to have a heart full of tender compassion and acceptance and mercy. His example inspired Jesus, and it inspires us too, to enhance and reenact the Christmas story all year round. Amen.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, a star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Hear what I hear?
Ringing shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, a child shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say.
Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say.
The child, the child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light.